And he says, here I am, Timothy. I'm in chains. I'm in prison. But he said, oh, the word of God, it's not imprisoned. And the word of God, it's not chains. No one, not any person, no matter what they do, no one can chain the living word of God. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again, and thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. In Pastor Bill's study today from the Epistle of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to persevere in difficult times, to be a good soldier, to live with purpose and discipline. For God is faithful to see him through. Now, Pastor, with part two of The Power of Grace.
But he didn't enlist you to serve and please him for 3 years or 4 years, however long they do today in the military. But you're a lifer. Do you understand? You're not here for the short term. You are here for the whole term. And he says, our whole duty is one thing, is to please our Lord. Now, watch this. He says in verse 5, he uses now the athlete. So, Timothy, you have to be, and we have to be, as dedicated as an athlete. Look at it. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless what? Unless he competes according to the rules. So, if you don't play by the rules, you know what? You don't get the crown. What's the rule book? It's the Word of God, amen, the Bible that you have. Being an athlete, you have to be dedicated to be an athlete, amen? You have to work, man. I mean, listen, I remember when I was played football and sports and all that, and I love football, love basketball. My football coach, his name was Herman Carbell. What a name. I didn't like him. He didn't like me. And here's what was our motto. He says, all I want from you, 3 yards and a cloud of dust. 3 yards and on every down. So if you go 3 yards on every down, what happens? Thank you, Mario. Nobody else, they didn't get it. You make a first down. So what do? 3 yards and a cloud of dust, Bill. 3 yards and a cloud of dust. You know, even though he didn't like me, he didn't. I was the captain of the team back then. But you know what's really wonderful? He was one of the greatest coaches. He worked you like a dog. You know, we didn't have Keller back then, the true Keller Indians, okay? The original, before there was any of this other stuff. We didn't have money for nice locker rooms, or we even our uniforms were back from the 50s, okay? And we didn't have a workout place. You know what he did? We got these 5 gallon paint buckets. And he filled them full of concrete and then put a steel post between them. So you have this one and this one. That's what we worked out with. Oh, you want me to tell you some more? And then as you were lifting that, he would come and jump on your stomach. I'm serious. But let me tell you what he did. He produced, and I'm so thankful to be a part of it, the winningest football team in the history of Keller. It was a great time to play football. But you see, the thing is, you got to sacrifice. If you're an athlete, you're gonna work out right. You're going to train right. Do you understand? And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, listen, you've got to practice. You have to be dedicated. You are running the only race that matters, Timothy, and we are running the only race that matters. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that we are to run this race that's set before us with endurance, amen? Never giving up, being dedicated, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Why? Listen, we're running for a crown that doesn't ever fade away, an imperishable crown. Amen? Well, not the crowns that come today. Let me give you the scripture in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says, oh, listen, do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. In other words, to make that prize yours. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. In other words, you're disciplined. You eat right and train right and all the rest. Now, they do it, meaning the Greek games, is what he's talking about back then. He says, they do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. What is that crown? It's a reward. Running the race, given to us at the Bema Seat of Christ. Amen? The place of rewards. You know, we have to run it, but we do so by the grace of God. And not only that, you know, there's someone who wants to take your crown and steal your crown and knock it off your head. We know who that is. That's why Jesus, when he's writing there in the church in the book of Revelation, in Revelation, I think it's 3:11, he said, listen, hold fast, man. Let me just back up. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming suddenly. I'm coming without announcement. Hold fast. See that no one takes your crown. Now, look at the next example that he gives us. Timothy is to work hard like a farmer. He says in verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops or the harvest, okay? Do farmers work hard? Yes. Oh, man, listen. Farming is hard, hard work. Every time I tell my wife, Becky, I say, honey, you know, we're getting up in years. I mean, you know, we're nearly 50. And I say, you know, we're not getting any younger. Let's just sell our home and maybe go way out into the country and buy us a little place and farm. And she always says, do you know how hard farming is? You know, you can't just go on a vacation when you want. If you have animals, I grew up on the farm with my grandparents there in Keller. Listen, you know, when you have a farm and you have cattle, you have milk the cows and all, you can't just leave. Amen? So who's going to feed them? Who's going to take care of them? So, in other words, he's saying, listen, Timothy, farmers do something. Farmers feed the world, but they know how to do it. They know how to plant at the right time, sow at the right time, gather at the right time. And so do you, Timothy, listen. You need not to feed the world. You need to feed the lost. Feed the sheep. Amen? That's what it's all about. He's saying, your pasture, you know, the place of your labor, it's a spiritual field. And your labor, Timothy, you need to feed others. But first, you have to first partake of it before you can give it out. Meaning this, I can't give anything to you. Pastor Timothy can't give anything to others unless he first goes and eats it. Amen? He has to partake. In other words, you can't give the Word of God out if you don't feed on the Word of God, correct? And that's what he's saying. He said, boy, you have to be a partaker of that. And he says, listen carefully now. Look what he says. Consider what I say about what he just said about the athlete and so forth, the farmer, the soldier. He said, consider what I say, Timothy. I want you to really think about this and digest it, he says, and may, or literally, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. So Timothy was number one, and so are we. We have to battle like a soldier. Amen? In other words, we all have to fight the good fight of faith. The next one is we have to be a dedicated athlete because we're all running the race of faith. We're going home, loved one. And then it says the hardworking farmer, you got to work. Keep plowing, Timothy. Keep sowing the Word of God. You know, Jesus told us about those who plow for the kingdom of God in Luke 6:42, I think it is. He says, those who look back, those who put their hand to the plow and look back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, there's nothing back there anymore. Your life is going forward with the Lord. Amen. And so he says this next command, verse 8, he says, remember that the Jesus Christ of the seed of David, that's King David, of course, Jesus the descendant who would sit upon the throne forever and ever, the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, listen carefully. It says, remember that Jesus Christ. That's not correct. In the original writings, for some reason, the translators added the word that. It shouldn't be there. They just added it. If you read it in the Greek, it would be, remember Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a war cry, isn't it? You know, remember the Alamo, remember Jesus Christ. And so that's what he's saying right here. He says, remember that Jesus Christ, he is alive. He is present with you. He's present with us. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. We don't follow a dead man. Listen, if you remove the resurrection of Jesus, is there any salvation? No. Any forgiveness of sins? Is there any hope? Is there any grace? No. But Jesus is risen, just like he said. Amen. He says, for which I suffer trouble as a what? Evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. You know, I told the early service, I said, Paul is in prison, of course, for teaching and preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That he's alive. That's the only way to be saved, the only name given under heaven. That's why he's in prison. That's why he's going to be executed. But when you really look at this, let me question. Was Paul a celebrity? Was he like in the spotlight, you know? And did he live a glamorous life? No, he didn't. And he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen, I want you to really look at this scripture because it hurt me to even study it. Because I know that when Paul penned this, that I think it broke his heart because he was called something that he was not. And that's Nero's language, evil doer. He's in prison. I'm suffering these things as an evil doer. In the Greek, that word means a malefactor. You know, like the guys that were crucified with Christ, the thieves left on the right and left. So this word evildoer literally means, it conveys the idea of a person who is so depraved and so wicked and who is evil to the core. He used the word that Rome used against him. I'm suffering these things as an evildoer. That's the word they pinned on me, Timothy. Listen, Paul the Apostle was one of the godliest men that ever walked. Amen? And I said, oh, Lord, I know that hurt him. And he says, here I am, Timothy. I'm in chains. I'm in prison. But he said, oh, the word of God, it's not imprisoned. And the word of God, it's not chained. No one, not any person, no matter what they do, no one can chain the living word of God. Amen? You know why? It's alive. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Isaiah 55:11 says, when God sends out his word, it never returns to him void. Amen? It accomplishes whatever God says for the word to do, it does. Now, with all that being said, no one can stop or imprison the living word of God. Yet, it can. It can be chained. You know how? The pulpits of America. By watering down God's holy word. By not preaching the truth in love. Amen? By not sharing the whole counsel of God. No, and that's happening in our nation right now. You know, listen, the Bible, no book in the universe, no book in the world has been attacked as much as the Bible. It's been banned, it's been burned, it's been rejected, it's been mocked, and you know what? It's still here, and it will always be here, for the word of God is eternal. Its flowers are fade, but the word of God endures forever. Isaiah 40:8, amen? Forever and ever. He says, therefore I endure all things, Timothy, for the sake of the elect, meaning those that are going to be coming to Christ. I endure what I'm going through. He says, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with, or literally with, the reward of eternal glory. Can you believe that? Paul's in prison. He says, hey, I suffer these things. And you know what? I have no regrets. And I do. The purpose is because of the elect. Remember what Paul told the church at Corinth? He says, I have become all things to all men that I might save some. To the Jew, I became like the Jew. Those outside the law, I became like those outside the law. To those who are weak, I became weak that I might win them. Paul was the ultimate soul winner. And he says, I endure all these things for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of those that are lost. You take a good look at Paul. If all of a sudden we could go back to the first century and go into the Mamertine prison and there's a camera, we could look at Paul. You know what? You'd look at his face and you'd see a man that was disfigured from the beatings that he endured. You would see a man whose back had been literally ripped to pieces 3 times by the Jews, his own countrymen. Shipwrecked, stoned, and left for dead. Amen? And he even said there, remember Acts 16, Paul and Silas in the dungeon. There, they had been beaten bloody, and then they were bent over and placed in stocks. And then they started singing a hymn at midnight. Oh, and all of a sudden the earthquake came. You know the story. If you looked at Paul, he would say this, like it says in Galatians chapter 6 at the very end. He says, "Let no one trouble me anymore, for I bear in my body the marks, the stigmata, the marks of my Lord Jesus Christ." Back then, the marks, they would brand you if you were a runaway or criminal. And he's saying literally, you look at me, I am branded by Jesus, my Lord, meaning I am his doulos, or I am his bondservant, I'm his slave. Boy, Paul was a great man of God. And he says, Timothy, listen carefully. This is a faithful saying. Faithful saying, verse 11. Faithful, meaning it's sure, it is certain, it's immutable, it's unchangeable. He says, if we died with him, if we died with Jesus, we shall also live with Jesus. Amen? Why did Paul pen that? I know that people say, well, Bill, that was a hymn of the church back then. It could have been. There's nothing wrong with that. But why did he pen that? Paul's in the Mamertine prison. Why would he say what he just said? Look at it again. This is a faithful saying. He's penning it. He knows that any day he's going to die. He says, if we died with him, if we died with Jesus, Timothy, listen, we're going to also live with him. So let's interpret this text here historically. Let's go back to the first century. Are the Christians being slaughtered? Yes, absolutely. Now listen, see, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. That means we're not dead. Amen? We know we'll never die. Jesus said that. Even though he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. Amen? Oh, listen. No, we died already with Jesus. That, if you're a believer, that is a fulfilled condition. Why? Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, ascension, are we all a part of that? Yes, Jesus died for me, but he also died as me. The same thing for you. So he says, listen, if we endure, meaning if we suffer, okay, if we go through persecution, if we go through hardship, if we endure, we shall also reign, and in the Greek it would go, we shall also reign as kings with Jesus. But if we deny, if we disown him, he will also deny us. See, a life that won't serve the Lord will never reign with the Lord. Paul writes to the Romans in 8:18, he says, hey, I consider the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. It says, those that deny him. You know, I encourage every believer to have a library. And if you don't have this book in your library, you can probably get it online free now, I don't really know. But it's called Fox's Book of Martyrs, okay? In Paul's day, the word meaning deny, disown, 5 million Christians were martyred. 5 million. You know why? Because they refused to deny Jesus Christ. I look and I say, oh Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 10:33, if anyone denies me before men, I'll deny them before my Father who is in heaven. But oh, I love this verse 13. It says, Paul says, if we, Timothy, church today, if we are faithless, if we're untrue to him, if we blow it, if we were not pleasing him, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Isn't that great? God cannot deny himself. God cannot deny what he is. He's bound by what he is. That means that he cannot, by the smallest degree, be any other thing than what he is. And our God is the faithful God. Amen. When we are faithless, when we are beat down, when we take our eye off what we're supposed to, God says, I'm faithful. You might be running the wrong direction, but I still have my hold on you. And no one's going to steal you from me. I'll take you back. Do you understand? It's by grace God does all of those things. See, God's character is unchanging. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord God, I do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed, the Bible says. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, you are God. You are God, my God. You are the faithful God. He's our faithful God. Lamentations, he cries out in Lamentations and says in 3:23, I think it is, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God is so good. Amen. He's always so good. You know, the great missionary Hudson Taylor said, it is not by trying to be faithful, but in looking to the faithful one that we win victory. Amen. Listen, sometimes you may be saying to yourself, or the devil might be saying to you, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make, heaven won't be, I want it to be, but I'm just not going to make it. Oh, listen to me. That's not from heaven. That's from hell. The Bible tells us, listen to me, let me read it to you. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And not only that, it says he who calls you, meaning God, is faithful who will also do it. Do what? He who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Amen. The very moment that you're home, God says, okay, it's complete now. Do you understand? See, God is the faithful God. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. What about our sin? 1 John 1:9, the Bible tells us, if we confess our sins, that he is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins. And to what else? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. How faithful is God? You know how faithful he is? That when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we didn't want him, when we loved the world and didn't know that we did love the world, when we didn't even, we were numb to things of God, when we were without God, when we were without strength, Jesus died for us. Amen. You know how faithful God is? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 and following, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe you're here this morning. You want to know how faithful God is? He loves you and he wants to save you if you don't know him. So as our heads are bowed and no one looking around and every Christian praying, maybe you're here and you say, you know what? I'm not a believer. I have religion, but I don't have relationship. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be forgiven. I want heaven to be my home. I don't want hell. If you don't know Christ, you can right now. He's faithful. He says, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe me, he'll save you. Is that you? If it is, you don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come down to this altar, but you have to show one sign of faith, and that is just lift your hand and put it up and put it right back down and say, Bill, I want Christ as my Savior. I want to be born from above. I want my sins forgiven. Anyone this morning, if that's you, quickly put your hand up, put it right back down. Well, Father, I assume that all are born from above this morning, but maybe those that are listening live right now, if you're not, you have the opportunity to just say, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me, O Lord. I believe, and he will save you. Father, thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, no matter what we're facing. And thank you, Lord, that we live in your grace 24/7, whether we feel it or not. And that, Lord, your grace, whatever we may face, there's enough there to get us through. I ask you, Lord, as the rain comes, we're so thankful for it. But Lord, I pray that this dry ground, let it not run off, but let it run in to the soil. And let there not be any flooding. But Lord, we pray that you fill every reservoir, every lake. Oh Lord, saturate our soil. Wash away this pollen and all the rest of this junk, Lord, like a cleansing. And Lord, keep everyone safe. No floodwaters, we ask. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, Joe.
And that brings us to the end of today's program. What a powerful reminder that we are called to be faithful witnesses, committed to the call of Christ. Not in our own strength, but in his. As we close, let us hold fast to this trustworthy saying. If we endure, we will also reign with him. We look forward to being with you again. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.